shit gonna get crazy tonight. The OC.
Hello and welcome to a very odd episode of Cry Me Riverdale. I am, of course, your host as always, never not done this before, Mikey Newman, here with
John Reiser, who's back in the early 2000s driving his Toyota Tacoma down to the beach with his bros, because we're talking about the OC.
So the idea behind, because we want to be producing episodes as the show is airing from now on, but there's obviously a lot of weeks of the year that Riverdale is not on.
Those are called the bad weeks of the year.
I know, it's not fair to me either, but we originally had discussed Buffy, but due to some recent Joss Whedon allegations that are, it's so inseparable from that show, it's like, yep. Okay, we're not going to...
Just don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yep. So we started with the OC, which I enjoyed. We'll find out what we're doing next week. We'll let you know. Anyway, before that song gets stuck in my head again.
Oh, it's so good.
California, like just every time.
Phantom Planet.
Phantom Planet. Jason Schwartzman, what are you doing? California. It will never not be in there. Once you start watching this show, that is now your song forever.
It's very odd to me, the fact that I missed this show 100% completely. I was 100% in the demographic and the age range that should have watched this. And somehow, maybe it's because it was called the OC and I literally grew up living next to the OC and visiting the OC. I was like, I ain't watching a show about the OC. I don't know. For some reason, I missed it. Everyone's always talked about it and talked about Gallagher and all these other people that were in and everything. And so it's kind of fun.
It is worth mentioning that, neither one of us had seen the OC prior to this moment. It is a pop culture blind spot for the both of us.
Yeah. We're giving you that fresh take on the OC that you've all been waiting for.
For 17 years. Only 14 years.
Yeah.
So here we go. I guess the OC.
This show started in an unexpected way.
What?
I wasn't expecting this opening.
Oh, I wasn't. Okay, so here's the thing. Commissioner Gordon plays Ryan, new favorite character ever.
You can't not see him as Commissioner Gordon while you watch this show.
He is Commissioner Gordon. That's all I saw. That's why he's so nice and good. But his brother, Trey, from this opening, is the worst actor of all time.
Oh, man.
He was so bad.
Yeah, considering he was the introduction to this show as far as like, hey, first line of dialogue ever given in the OC.
Yeah,
I was like, oh no, is this what I'm in for? And then
right.
Thank God he was in there for that one scene and then he has gone bye-bye. I don't know if he comes back, but at least he didn't sour the rest of this pilot episode.
No, yeah, okay, so we had the same read there. So they steal a car. And Ryan just goes along with it. Like, Trey just runs up and bashes a window as hard as he can.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not good move for where you're about to be sitting, dog. Like,
no. And he's phrasing in a way that he's got to teach him. Like, he's got to do this. He's got to teach him. And Ryan's, like, reluctant about it. And then, you know, the cops show up and we start the OC with a cop chase. Why not?
It's almost like a lack of convincing father figures in Ryan's life is somewhat the driving force of the show.
Maybe.
So far.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the scene after the car chase to see if a strong father figure might show up to fill that void. We don't know yet. We haven't gotten to that point in the notes.
The very fortunate thing for... This was on Fox, right? Was it on Fox or
this is CW,
CW,
bro?
Well,
this is WB.
WB back
this
then,
is WB.
Yeah. Probably aired after Roswell or something.
I didn't watch Roswell either.
I did. Let's move on. So there was this very specific moment in time where right after Peter Gallagher was still a bankable movie star, where a big show could pick. So this is right in the pocket of time where Peter Gallagher was still paid to be in things.
Yeah.
And bless them so much because he is great in it. But man, he disappeared immediately after this.
What's he been up to? I want to now know what Peter Gallagher's been doing other than staying
nestled
in my heart.
Tweet us with the hashtag OC Reune.
Peter Gallagher has been doing... Oh, he's been doing Law and Order.
While you were sleeping two, while you were sleeping three.
I would jump into opening night of While You're Sleeping Two in a heartbeat, brother. Yeah, he's been doing Law and Order Special Victims Unit since 2014. Getting that sweet SVU money.
Sam Waterston is coming back to Law and Order SVU. It was announced today. I think it's just a cameo, but he was the guy that was on every Law & Order show ever for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
He's the big tentacled soul-sucking demon, you know, Sam Waterston.
Yeah, I know who Sam Waterston is, okay? I know who Sam Waterston is. I'm just kind of been taken aback the fact that you're able to, like, you know, drop these hot takes on Law & Order in the middle of our OC special of our Riverdale podcast.
Well, we got to do something next week.
Do you know what Sam Waterston was also in? He was in Newsroom. Newsroom was great. I'd love another season of that. That was written by... We can just keep
that
going
was,
down.
It was very smart for Aaron Sorkin to write a part for Sam Waterston where he was always drunk.
Yeah.
Like that seemed to work out. Because there were a couple times on the Newsroom I was like, really? I feel like you're really drunk. Like you're struggling with the words you're saying. But I actually like the Newsroom. I'm dumb anyway.
What show are we talking about?
So Ryan from the OC is in jail. His public defender, Peter Gallagher.
Yes.
Peter Godson Gallagher shows up. And this is where we get... actually, I wrote down this really funny note because I wrote, Ryan is a troubled kid that will inevitably have a heart of gold and is probably secretly a genius. Yeah. And literally the next sentence, while I was typing secretly a genius, he does that whole...
SAT score thing. And if you actually went to class, you'd get to school, you'd get into any college you wanted and all that kind of thing.
Well, he throws out all these logic bombs about like how people do stuff. And I was like, yep, secretly a genius. We are in Goodwill Hunting mode now. But also he has to be a protective fighter. That was also...
Just checking all the boxes in this entire episode.
He's apparently a minor that is 240 pounds of muscle, so I don't...
Good Lord, this boy is stacked, and we could talk about that later when he takes his shirt off and is wearing a tank top. I've never seen such a muscly little high schooler. Holy crap!
Yeah, he is...
I thought Archie... was a built boy, but good Lord.
So speaking of Archie, this to help ease our transition out of Riverdale for a second, the mom, Peter Gallagher's wife, I forget her name. I wrote it down somewhere.
Kirsten.
She shows up and she just is a Riverdale mom in that she is horrible.
She's not totally horrible. She's just overprotective of her kids and her very expensive house.
And of actually having evidence for egregiously strong moves.
I think she's going to redeem herself a lot better than most Riverdale moms if we were to continue to watch this.
Well,
show.
They gave us a bar for comparison because immediately after that, pulling up is Ryan's actual mom.
Yeah.
Who is drunk.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so...
She's pulling a Sam Waterston.
We're jumping all over the place here, but who cares?
Wait, are we? Those were in order.
No, you're in order. We just keep, like, referencing people that haven't entered into the show yet.
That's how she entered. Ryan's mom is drunk, and she says, hi, I'm drunk.
No, but...
And then Ryan says, hi, drunk, I'm Ryan.
Gallagher's wife doesn't enter until, like, another couple scenes, like, after this. We were already talking about who cares. Let's just keep talking about the OC.
Wait, then... Why did I write the note about Riverdale mom showing up? I think she pops in for a half second.
No, she doesn't. Not until they get to their house after he takes him home.
Oh, well, whatever.
You're just jumping everywhere. You know, we get
off of
Riverdale.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay, so yeah, we're in the jail for a quick second. Gallagher gives the whole speech about if he actually gets his, you know, his act cleaned up, he could be okay, and he's going to get this off as a misdemeanor. He's trying to get Ryan to have future plans because he has hope in this kid and he's a good dad. And then, yeah, we go to the outside of the jail, and drunk mom shows up, and she's just a hot mess.
Yeah.
And Gallagher sees this. His name is Sandy, but I can't help but call him Gallagher.
Sandy and Kirsten.
And he sees how big of a hot mess Ryan's got going on, and so he gives him his card with his number and says, if you ever need anything, call me, which at one point, at that
if you ever need anything, call me. I'll be your father figure.
I want that card from Peter Gallagher.
I will be your father. Okay, that's not. Wrong song. Wrong implication.
Yeah, so Ryan goes home with his mom, who immediately kicks him out. Kind of a weird twist. And then that turns into Ryan getting into a fight with his stepdad.
Who punches him.
Punches him.
A minor. Again, I don't want to always have to be the guy that stresses that, hey, TV writers, because, again, there's a good 14-year gap between these two shows, and they're basically essentially made by the same company. Stop doing this to
stop
children.
Stop hitting minors.
Stop hitting minors in the face.
Yeah.
If you would be so kind.
Yeah, so Ryan gets kicked out. But don't worry, because then the theme song starts.
Yeah, I was about to say, he gets kicked out and boo doo 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 doo
California.
Yeah.
I didn't watch this show, but man, did I listen to this song a lot.
Me too. And I think I'm gonna just watch this show now forever. It's good.
It's actually,
but mostly for the song.
Yeah. It's nice to get the song in context now. It even has more power.
Because he is going to California. Here we come is a literal, even though, wait, where was he before?
He was in Chino, which is in California.
So he didn't, like, go to California.
No, he was just in a less nice part of California. So the song sings about going to a really nice part of California, apparently.
It's a different part of California. California. Like, it's just, it's down the block. Like, I don't, like, ugh.
You're going to pass out trying to hit that note, dude.
Yeah, it's so high.
That was basically a game with me and my friends when we would listen to the song
Who
driving
can hit the
to the beach.
Yeah, that part.
It was just bad. So Ryan, while Phantom Planet is singing for him, he goes and finds a payphone. He's trying to call friends to see if he can save a place. Doesn't find anybody, so he does what we all know he's going to do. He calls Gallagher, and Peter Gallagher comes and saves the day. Picks him up and cue the montage.
Cue the first montage, but
of the OC beaches.
Crossfade to OC. That is my favorite screenplay transition. Is crossfade to OC, because that's exactly what they do here. Which, yeah. Importantly, and I think I knew this once upon a time, but I had forgotten and/or blocked it from memory. Executive producer Mick G, and
who's
I
that?
Was like, wait, what?
Who's that?
He was the director of both Charlie's Angels movies.
Oh, wow.
We Are Marshall. A bunch of way worse stuff. Kind of executive produced a bunch of shows. He's like, gosh, what's the best way to describe this? He's like a clown version of Michael Bay.
Whoa. That's a way to describe someone.
We do learn at this point that the lawyer who is a public defender.
Yes.
Because Ryan is rightfully like, how are you making this much money as a public defender? And it turns out his wife is the breadwinner.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make any money. He's just a gold digger.
Basically. And I can attest to the fact that living in neighborhoods like that in OC does mean, in fact, you are richer than the Pope.
One other credit before this bounced out was the pilot was directed by Doug Liman. From Mr. and Mrs. Smith, The Bourne Identity, go a bunch
Everybody
of stuff.
Everybody and their mother worked on this show. Like, even the people that were, like, in the show, it's like, hey, there's Commissioner Gordon and just a bunch of other people. Like, Brody went on to do a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, the music stops and we're sad for a moment.
We go to Sandy and Kirsten, which is the first time we hear their names together. And I was like, oh, so you're both the Real Housewives of the OC.
So Sandy pulls up, Gallagher pulls up, and he realizes he didn't tell his wife that he was bringing home a delinquent.
Who forgets that?
I don't know. He just got the phone call. He was at work, and he just went there because he needed to take care of this kid.
Hey, honey, I'm coming home with the Cinnabons. Yeah, and you wanted a 12-inch cold cut trio? Yeah, I actually got that. Oh, shoot, I almost forgot. I'm bringing home a child that is not ours.
Yeah, who's really, really muscly and can probably knock us out with one punch.
And all of the wives of the OC are very into this child.
As they should not be. They should not be. Because I realize he's also a child, and this is
bad. Well, in the story he is, but, I mean, the dude's like 40, like everyone on this show, so.
I want to know how old he was when they were filming this. So he goes up, and he has to have a talk with Kirsten. He has to convince her, you know, the fact that he brought home a kid. And he kind of puts it in the context that this is not a permanent thing, that he's going to, just until Monday, until they can call Child Protective Services because he has no home. And so it's just like, you know, it's temporary. So Kirsten kind of says, okay, he can stay in the pool house. And she kind of like, you could tell she expects this kind of behavior from, this is very much in the vein of Gallagher's character that it seems like she's used to, like he saves people. We go outside. So this is kind of simultaneously happening where.
Yeah, while he's like, no, he's a good kid, they cut immediately to Ryan walking down the driveway with cigarettes.
Yeah, like the cool kids.
Like the cool 30-year-old kids.
And so, yeah, he starts smoking, and then he runs across a cute girl standing outside.
Misha Barton.
And
like you're like, yeah, I know.
I had to look up everybody here because everybody in this show just looks so familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on like who they were. In fact, I'd even call out that Ben McKenzie was Commissioner Gordon. I was just like, why do I know this face and why does he look like an adult to me already? And then we looked him up and I was like,
one, because he is.
Yeah, he is an adult, but he's Commissioner Gordon.
He's actually 52.
He was born in 1978 and this came out in what, 2003?
So yeah, then, 2003.
Yeah, He was in his mid-20s.
Oof. Marissa, Misha Barton, wants to bum a cigarette. Wants to bum a smoke from him.
Yeah.
And they have a weird exchange, like, right off the bat.
Yeah, because he kind of pulls a little move where he gives her a cigarette and then makes her light it off of his cigarette instead of giving her a lighter. So it's just like little moment.
It's a kissing cigarette.
It's a kissing cigarette. And so then she kind of implores his story from him, and he kind of tries to use his kind of badass story. It feels like he's trying to use it to get points, you know, in this exchange with a cute girl.
I think the secret is to brood very slowly like this and stare off into the distance and wonder aloud.
You know what? The rest of the audience just has to listen to this. I have to watch you like talk sultrily to your microphone. Okay, so let's keep this to a minimum of like 5 seconds of that.
That was like 4.5, sir. I still have half a second. Yeah. So yeah, we're in kissing cigarettes and Misha Barton and Commissioner Gordon are immediately unequivocally in love.
We're so bad at names. Commissioner Gordon, Misha Barton.
And Ryan. No, I'm not.
Marissa and Ryan, they have this thing. Sandy shows up. I don't know why, but I have the note that he runs his hand through his hair, and so I have that written down for some reason. He had good hair. Gallagher's got good hair.
He does. He does.
And he may have said some stuff, and I didn't write it down. But
well, the boyfriend pulls up, and then all eyes are immediately on douchebag waste of air. Boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh. They captured the early Audis bro so perfectly with his boyfriend, including the truck that he drove. Yeah. I mean, this is a brand of Orange County individual that is very well known in that circle.
Yeah, and everybody knows when you don't have a job and don't do anything in Orange County, you need a truck that big with lifts that high.
Yeah.
Or you can't do the job you don't have.
He shows up. Cute girl leaves. Oh, before that, they kind of play off. Because she listens to...
Are you really going to accuse me of being bad at names and you keep calling Marissa cute girl?
She's Marissa. There you go. They didn't say her name in this scene, so all of my...
Yes, they did.
Oh, they did? All of my notes say cute girl because I didn't hear the name. After he tells his story, she's like, she doesn't buy it. And she's like, oh, are you the cousin from Boston? And so they play that off, and that becomes kind of a reoccurring gag where they kind of play off the fact that Ryan is, quote unquote, the cousin from Boston / Seattle. And so that's somewhat important for later on in this episode. And then bro shows up, bro takes girl, girl and bro leave. And she invites him to a fashion show later that they're having. So that's a thing that occurs. And then Sandy takes Ryan to the pool house, and he meets Kirsten and their maid, Rosa.
She didn't get any lines. She's just sort of introduced, and then that's it.
I just wrote it down because I wonder if she might be something later on in this.
What if she's episode. The killer? Oh, wait, sorry, wrong show. it was Rosa.
And then, yeah, so Ryan, you know, he goes to bed and wakes up, and we get some really good shots of this house because they are rich. These people... These people are rich.
They're gross rich. They're like the family stops talking to them because they're so rich.
Kind of rich. I mean, like, they have these nice aerial shots that not only show this house, but shows the proximity of this house to the beach, which is very close.
They are bad boys to villain rich.
Yeah. Which they didn't even say what the wife does, which now I'm very curious. I want to know what her job is.
Oh, she's a cage fighter. Didn't you know?
Just an early MMA. And so, yeah, Ryan meets Seth. Seth is Sandy and Kirsten's son, who is Adam Brody.
Not a great first scene, Adam Brody.
I liked him.
He's a creepy as hell stalker.
Oh, yeah.
Named a boat after a girl he's never had the strength to talk to. But then tells other people that she's going to go sailing around the world with him.
Well, if you say it that way, yes, but.
Correct. If you use the facts as they are, it does look bad.
I like him. He's odd and quirky. So they play video games, as any two boys would when they meet each other. And they have this really funny moment where they're like finishing a game and Seth brings up like they should play GTA because you can steal cars. And
yeah.
And he's like, that could be fun, or it's not. And it's like a really funny moment where he realizes he should not have brought up GTA with the delinquent.
That literally just got arrested for stealing a car. Because he's like, it's a game, you can steal a car. Oh, I see what I did there.
So then Gallagher shows up and says, you guys should go do stuff. And they go do stuff. What does any kid in high school do just for fun on the weekends? Well, you go sailing on your boat. Duh.
Are we there? Yes, we are there. Because I was trying to remember when the FBI guys showed up.
Which is what everyone does in California. I can confirm that. And California.
It's just always there.
It's just, you can't. Seth talks about a Tahiti dream trip he has in mind where he wants to actually sail there. And he brings up the fact that Ryan brings up, like, wouldn't you be lonely for a 40-day long trip? And Seth brings up, he's like, no, Summer will be there. Which we're all like, oh, Summer's like your girlfriend or something?
No. Summer like the season? Is that the season you're going?
Nope, it's the girl that you love and have never talked to but named your boat after. And yes, that's weird. I will agree.
Maybe that's one of those like writing traits that, quote unquote, it was cool in 2003. It is not cool now.
To name a boat after a girl you've never talked
to. And then to be so sure about what you're in, right? I wasn't as endeared to Seth as I think I was supposed to be.
Okay, well, we'll work on that.
No, he does. He gets there. It's just he started real bad.
Then they go to the beach from getting off the boat, and Gallagher invites them to go to this fashion show because he brings up that Marissa invited Ryan. And Seth's like not cool with it, but then kind of puts the two and two together that because Summer might be there, he should go. So he agrees to go.
Yeah.
Because Summer will be there.
We cut to Marissa's house, and what I thought was two FBI guys showing up at her house, right? Yeah. Turns out to be securities fraud commission guys. Because her dad has been bending rules, I think.
Yeah. They show up, they're like, where's your dad? She's like, he's not here. And they're like, they apparently have been by to try to see him several times. She's like, when I see him, I'll tell him you came, but she's like, he's not here. And so they leave And then we see that her dad is there. And dad kind of shrugs off the fact that there are suited men showing up at his door looking for him and doesn't really let his daughter know about anything wrong.
Yeah, and she actually pushes at one point, like, hey, what is this thing we know is a huge deal and you're tragically undervaluing at this moment? Like, what is... Because, we know this is going to be a big storyline.
This is literally how we're being introduced to him, so we know this is going to be important. We go to the pool house, and Ryan's getting ready, looking good in his Commissioner Gordon suit.
With no tie.
And then we have a really good dad moment, because Gallagher shows up, and he's like, I didn't know how to tie a tie until I was in my mid-20s either. Here, let me help
you. Well, because Ryan is like takes off the tie because he can't tie it, but he's like, what? It's a good look, open collar. And I'm like, yeah, okay. If you're at a New Jersey casino at Sunday at 5 in the morning, that is a good look.
It's a very specific time for an open collar. I feel like there might be other times that it's okay.
Applebee's is also
shut fun. Up.
God, New Jersey casinos and Applebee's are the two places.
Yeah, so then Gallagher, Sandy, god damn it. Sandy ties his tie. It's really nice. And he asks about Seth, and he has this very real father figure moment with Ryan.
Yeah, and forgive me if I'm reading into it, though the implication seems to be that Seth is on the spectrum in some way.
Yeah, somewhat. Feels a little bit there. I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's not a positive or a negative. I think it's really good representation. I was just curious because it's not really ever explicitly stated, but the parents worry about how he interacts with other children. Like the symptoms were kind of all there.
Yeah. And then we go to Marissa's house, where we're introduced to her mom, who is very much an OC trophy wife, vain, you know, even says, like, neg things to her daughter, who comes down looking nice for her fashion show, but is, like, very much all about the fashions and everything like that.
It was like, oh, hey, Mrs. Blossom, how are you doing? I'd missed you.
Yeah, she criticizes Marissa and everything like that, and they all go to their fashion show.
Boom, we're at the fashion show.
We're at the fashion show.
It is overwhelming.
Yes.
For Ryan, because Ryan is seeing the lavishness of how people actually live up close and personal, and you can see it on his face. Ben McKenzie was very good, but you're like, yes, it's all BS. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty overwhelming even for the viewer to watch. And they kind of go through this cool little... quick take thing where he keeps meeting these new people and they're all asking him about his background and they're all like, oh, so you're the cousin from Boston. Oh, you're the cousin from Seattle. Oh, I heard you're from Alaska. And even like one cougar gets kind of all like cheeky with him.
More than one. A lot of moms hitting on this minor.
A lot of moms on the minor.
More than three. I didn't count after that, but it was more than three.
And then Ryan manages to head over to the bar and order a nice 7 and 7 adult drink. And he gets one sip of it and then gets caught by Kirsten.
Yep, which I will give the bartender some leeway here because, again, that dude looks 30. Like,
because he is 25.
And the mom says something I think really interesting. Kirsten says... I want my husband to be right about you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a good line.
It was a good line. And then Seth shows up and, cause Seth's over like all the other high schoolers are being all chummy with each other, including, what I think was Marissa's boyfriend.
Yeah. Seth and the boyfriend are in the scene. Cause the boyfriend is immediately a homophobe jerk idiot.
He is, because Seth is, like, super awkward. It's really awkward, like, hello to him. His name is Luke. I have a name, Luke. And Luke is like, oh, yeah, suck it, queer. And he walks away, and I'm like, all right, we're in 2003.
Yeah, it was, the thing is, there is no, because if you're going to write this sort of love triangle where obviously... two of these characters have a pretty strong attraction to each other and they're good people. And this really just tyrannically awful third party There's nothing there to hold him in this relationship because he's openly cheating on her and like just yeah. all this. There's nothing redeeming about I was gonna say homophobe boy toy because I refused to call him by his name.
You got it.
It was HBT.
Summer shows up.
Yes, we meet Summer finally. Who and spring, winter, and fall
is Rachel Bilson. Mm-hmm. And first, okay, really quick, I liked Jumper. You can hate me for liking that movie. I like Jumper.
You know what's hilarious? Directed by Doug Liman.
There we go. He likes Rachel.
It all comes back.
It all comes
Why
back.
Was Kristen Stewart in that movie? She's in it for like 4 seconds at the very end.
Is she?
Yeah, she's the daughter.
Oh.
That was a pull.
Was that before Twilight or after?
Way before.
Okay.
That was like right after Panic Room.
Okay, that makes more sense.
A fantastic movie you should rent right now if you've never seen it.
That's
Fincher made a Hitchcock movie and it's perfect.
Panic Room's good. I think it was one of my first DVDs I bought. What are we talking about again? Oh, yeah. So Summer shows up and they all kind of freak out. By they, I mean Seth freaks out and Ryan's there. And then Gallagher shows up and Seth kind of retreats to the kids table with Ryan where they find seats at the kids table for the fashion show to start.
And the kids are all really weird. Like Seth keeps trying to interact with them and they all just stare at him.
Yeah.
They never say anything.
He's like even like giving boating lessons to one of the kids and the kids just doesn't give him nothing.
Just stares at him.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
The show begins mm-hmm. and our first model is Summer.
Yeah.
And I don't want to throw stones, but she is the worst runway model ever. Yeah. And I think part of it was like in character trying to be goofy and whatever, but like, wow.
Yeah. It kind of gave the feel that this is obviously a very casual and non.
But it's not. Like when we learn the truth of this in a second, it's even weirder. But yeah, Summer does not start the show off with a bang, but we cut to backstage.
We go backstage where Marissa is there and, yeah, I don't really know what the read is on Marissa at this point, other than the fact that Summer shows up, has a couple of glasses of champagne that she was so stoked that she was able to snag. But then Marissa one-ups her by showing that she snagged an entire bottle of vodka.
Was it vodka? I thought it was just more wine. I didn't.
It was very white and clear. I thought it might have been vodka.
Well, the implication would be that because when she gets home later, she is drunk.
Yeah. They have like drinks in the bathroom. And then Marissa takes to the catwalk.
She is an actual real life model. So that's why she knew what she was doing when walking down the runway.
Yes. She also knew what she was doing when she made eyes at Ryan on the catwalk because she likes her some Ben McKenzie.
But it's about this time that things took a really weird turn because they've been making comments about buying the dresses for the girls and all these things. But this is the first time we are confronted with the implication that the rich asshole at their table, Dad, the guy that cries in the bathroom.
Jimmy.
They all buy their daughter's expensive dresses and then they pay a bunch of money to basically make a big fake runway show and have like, I don't know. It just seemed like a weird thing to do.
I used to do photography and I've shot events like this where it's fundraiser or awareness kind of events, but the opulence feels really out of balance of the message that's going on because yeah, this fashion show was for abused women, like a shelter for abused women. But then
well, that makes me feel worse for the comment I just made, but yes.
I've shot photos for these kind of events and I'm like, I don't understand how you're raising money for this, but then you spend all this money to do this event that's extremely extravagant. It just does feel
odd. which is very much about feeding the egos of your children.
That's what it is. I mean, to be honest, yeah.
It's a fundraiser for like, man.
It's also like, you know, it's like, hey, we can do quote unquote charity work while we still get to act super rich. So that's a win-win.
That is a win-win. So the creepy...
Yeah, so we go to the adult table, and we also kind of get this first idea that Jimmy has done something wrong with a lot of people's money. Because they talk about how Jimmy has a lot of their money for something, you know, like investment type thing. And Jimmy is like, apparently something has gone terribly wrong because he has to excuse himself from the table and goes to the bathroom and has a breakdown.
Yeah, which Ryan overhears, because Ryan's in there like, hey, buddy, you okay?
Oh, by the way, Jimmy is Marissa's dad. I don't know if we made that connection.
Yeah, well, because the FBI showed up and she lied to him, or the Securities Fraud Commission. Then we go to the after party. We
go to the after party where Summer is also jonesing for some Ryan and invites him to this beach house where they're all having an after party where the parents have thrown this party to congratulate the kids for throwing this extravagant event. Again, balance is not correct right now.
Yeah, especially because we walk into this high school party and immediately we see people doing blow on the table.
It's pretty rough.
So the budget of this party was also pretty extravagant. Yes.
So Ryan kind of brings up this party to Seth, who Seth's like, I'm not going, that sounds terrible. But then Ryan makes it sound like Summer invited Seth and that he should go. And immediately All American Reject starts playing and I get excited again because that was my jam. I love me some All American Rejects.
Yeah. Them and the Ataris, man.
Yeah. Oh, love it. And so they jump into the back of a Jeep as you do in high school and they all go to a beach house party where there's drugs, sex, and alcohol.
Yeah. If you're gonna be driving around drunk like a bunch of idiot fools, definitely do it in a Jeep Wrangler where everyone is an open top on a top heavy vehicle where no one is wearing seatbelts.
Yeah.
2003, we need a talk. Sit down.
They're walking through all this, like, this, you know, drug, sex, and alcohol. And Seth has this great line where he's just like, he just drops, like, oh, hey, cocaine. That's awesome. Yeah. And he just kind of, which is, I think this is around the time when I really started connecting with Seth, because the way that Seth responds to this party is how not only I would have responded to a party like this in high school if I'd ever been invited to a party like this, but I'm pretty sure it's how I would respond to a party like this even right now.
I would have tried but done it wrong. I would have walked up like, oh, cocaine, my favorite, right? Love it. Do it all the time. Doing it right now. Totally. Love it. Do it all the time. Cocaine.
Mikey walks up to the cocaine, takes him and dabs it behind his ears like, am I doing this? Am I doing this right? Yeah.
I think that would still get you high.
Ooh, it stings. Ooh.
I'm not rubbing it on my teeth. I'm rubbing my teeth on the pile of coke. Like,
Mikey thinks that because they call it blow, you stick your nose to the pile of cocaine and you start blowing a goddamn.
It just goes all off the table immediately. Never invited back. That's how it happened. That's a true story. Where are we?
Okay,
now? Horrible no good boyfriend shows up at some point.
Horrible no good boyfriend's there. Marissa is there and she's drinking a lot. She's like topping off a glass that's already alcoholic that she's just drunk, and she's putting even more vodka in it, which is going to play at the fact that she gets really drunk later. Summer's making it very clear that she has the hots for Ryan, is going to try to vie for him. And bro, boyfriend, homophobe, after seeing at the fashion show Marissa making eyes at Ryan, then immediately goes and finds another girl who's like weirding out because of the sand outside, and like picks her up to go do, you know, not cool stuff with her.
They were just going to go play Sorry on the beach.
Probably. Well, they were going to the beach. They might have been going to play bocce ball. I'm not going to judge.
You get me, I'll get you back. Sorry.
Ryan also sees boyfriend leave with other girl who is not Marissa.
He's all for cheating on her just right in the open. So we cut to mom and the creepy crying stall dude, Jimmy. Out at the driveway.
Yeah, Kirsten, I guess, picked up on the fact that Jimmy had something going on, so she kind of checks on him, and they have this whole back and forth about how they were when they were young, and where the kids
it is. It is very much the how you doing, buddy?
You doing okay?
You sure you don't want to try that? Like she prods pretty hard here.
Yeah. That's about all that scene does is just kind of her checking on him and him really not giving her anything. And them talking about, you know, their kids will be fine, even though they're not home yet. And we go back to the party where I wrote down Seth is reacting exactly how I would at parties like this. And Marissa and Ryan have a little moment.
Wait, you left out a very key thing where Seth tries to go to the bathroom and walks in on a threesome in the bathtub.
Right.
And then says, whoa, a threesome. And he just keeps talking.
Yeah. And he has a funny thing where he's like, man, I should remember to knock on the door just in case I walk in on a threesome in the bathtub. It's pretty funny.
I don't think anyone cared, to be fair.
He's narrating the things that he's seeing in a way of processing these things that he knows.
I don't think you have a threesome in a bathtub at a party with 100 people there in a bathroom without the door locked if you are in any way worried about privacy.
Oh, Mikey.
I'm just like, they're not going to be like, oh, how dare you? Like,
how dare you? They'd be like, join in.
Scoundrel.
So, yeah, Marissa and Ryan have a little bit of a moment. I don't really know. I can't remember what happened there. That's all I wrote down.
So all I wrote down was Marissa and Ryan.
Yeah, and then
they kind of lock eyes for a moment. I remember that, but
yeah. But then Drunk Summer shows up and really starts falling all over Ryan.
Yeah, just real bad moves. Like total Mikey maneuvers from her. Just bad all around. Just shit moves.
It's just, I imagine you just looking like, you're better than me, Summer. Do not be me, okay? And yeah, she spills like alcohol on him or something like that. And but she's like handsies all over him. And then Seth comes out and sees her doing this with Ryan, and he's like, you know, you've betrayed me. And kind of starts a little bit of a fight, which then leads Seth to spilling the beans on Ryan's origins being from Chino, which then changes everyone's opinion immediately on Ryan.
Except for Marissa's. It sours Summer instantly.
Yeah,
because she's a classist piece of donkey odor.
Donkey odor.
No, Don Quixote is it not?
Oh, okay, Don Quixote.
No, I did say Don Quixote. You were correct the first time.
You are such a wordsmith. You should write. So then we go to the beach, where then Seth immediately gets bullied by the boys out on the beach.
And the boyfriend.
Yeah. And so Ryan comes over and saves him. Oh, yeah, and this is when the bro boyfriend shows up with his other girl, you know, as you do. And they kind of exchange some words, and then Ryan knocks him flat for a moment, and it's kind of nice.
Well, the moment the poopy boyfriend starts fighting with Ryan, I'm like, that one I can go ahead and call as your mistake, because obviously if this... He's got to have value in a system composed of money, and that value is going to be smarts and brawn.
Yeah. So yeah, Ryan manages to get a punch off on Luke, but then they just get beat up by the rest of the bros that are there around this bonfire, and
which happens to Commissioner Gordon a lot. So
he does. He gets beat up a lot. Then we go. So they go home
drunk.
They got beat up and they're drunk.
So the implication is they drove 2003. We got to talk, but
a lot of drunk driving. A
lot of drunk driving, like a startling amount of it.
And Seth, after having been upset at Ryan for, you know, supposedly making moves on Summer, turns around and is actually like really happy that Ryan had his back and, actually kind of like speaks about that he had a good time that night and
yeah.
He wants Ryan to teach him to, you know, fight and that kind of thing. It's like a nice little moment. They have a nice little moment.
He of course carries it too far. They just edit it down, guys. Like it's too much. Seth can go a long way. So,
so then, yeah, they pass out and we, oh no, Seth passes out.
Yeah. Ryan goes out to smoke.
Ryan goes out. and pulls the guns out, which are his arms, because he is wearing a tank top in this scene, and we see his giant bazookas that are attached to his shoulders.
I just wrote like that.
He's so stacked. I mean, like, good Lord. And he's
actually, Ben McKenzie played the title in Fight Club.
he was Fight Club.
Yes.
So Ryan, while he's going out to get a smoke, sees Marissa and Summer and another friend.
Summer, the worst friend ever.
Yep. You get that award. It's yours. Nothing else could take that ever away from you. Because
thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy and my parents. Thank my
dumb parents
who have raised me terribly.
All the money
got me to this award. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So bad.
Thank you.
Marissa is completely and utterly passed out, literally being carried by her arms and legs by her friends to her front door. They cannot find her keys. They don't want to wake up her parents. So what's the only option they have left? Just leave her apparently on the porch, passed out on the ground, get in your car, and drunk drive away.
I'm pretty sure they committed enough crimes in this, like, three-minute block to go to jail for a while.
Yeah. So, you know, Ryan sees this, and he's like, well, this is not good.
This will make for a good montage, me carrying you back to the pool house.
Yeah, he goes down and gets her, can't find her keys either, picks her up in his tree trunks, and takes her to his pool house, where he gingerly sets her on his bed, takes maybe a longer look at her than he should, and then tucks her in.
He could have been wondering about a lot of things. It was creepy, but it wasn't that creepy.
No, it wasn't.
He did the right thing for the right reasons without witnesses and did everything right. So I'm going to give him credit. Ryan's a good boy.
It was very much a Prince Charming moment. Okay. So then we wake up the next day. Marissa is gone. So she must have woken up before.
Which is never really resolved, like what she thought when she woke up.
She probably was, I don't know, because Ryan was in a bed, you know, a good distance from her sleeping, and so was Seth, and she was all by herself in her own bed with her clothes on. They all had their clothes on. So I think she probably thought she was kept safe and was brought there for some reason. I don't know. When she saw him later on in the episode, she didn't, like, scream. She was smiling, so I think she probably thought she was taken care of. And I've lost my place.
No, next morning. That's all happening. Well, Ryan is making breakfast for everyone.
What happens first is Mom shows up to the pool house.
Oh.
And sees Seth, who has a very bad shiner on his face, and Seth admits to being drunk and have gotten into a fight. And so Mom is not happy, and Seth is in big trouble. She goes out to catch Peter Gallagher in some nice looking swim trunks. And she complains about, you know, Seth hanging out with Ryan and Ryan's involvement with Seth. And, like, this is basically her son, who, like, you know, doesn't go out and doesn't really do anything. Literally the first night that Ryan's there, shows up the next day, having gotten a fight, has bruises and contusions all over his face, and is drunk. But she never
talks to Ryan, which I thought was a little strange.
She doesn't. And so
she decides to kick him out.
Yeah, Sandy tries to convince her otherwise, but she's like, nope, this guy, get out of my house. So then she goes inside to give the bad news, but then gets kind of stopped for a pause when she notices Ryan making breakfast for them. He's like doing a nice thing. It stops her for a moment at least.
And he's almost doing it because he also already figured it out. Because she tries to explain, like, hey, I got to be bad cop here. I'm sorry. And he's like, no, I get it. It's fine. I get it.
He leaves, and you kind of get a feeling that after this exchange that Kirsten, although she wants him out, I think she feels bad at this point. And so then he goes to Seth's room and to say goodbye to Seth, and they have a nice little hug. And Seth gifts him a map of the of the Pacific Ocean and kind of says, like, you know, it's good material for inspiration for trips. And it's kind of just nice. It's basically Seth's way of being able to, like, it's like a nice little coping moment for Seth, like realizing that this guy's leaving and he might not ever see him again.
The first person his age he's probably trusted in a long time. I mean, there's a lot of implications there, but
yeah.
We get actually really nice older brother, younger brother sort of feels about them. Like, they care about each other really quick, actually. One protective, one sort of less so.
It's good connections. Ryan gets in the car. Sandy starts driving away with Ryan. Marissa sees Ryan leaving. And that's where I thought you could tell that she could see what was happening.
Yeah, it just seemed like an odd thing not to have, like, a line about, but...
Well, the show's not over. There's more episodes.
Nope. It's just the first one. Just
first
the only.
Pilot failed. Didn't be made anymore. Sandy drops Ryan off. But it's very short-lived because Ryan walks in and his house is empty.
That was devastating. I was not actually expecting that ending.
Well, once he started walking up, I'm like, he's got to make his way back to the Gallagher's.
Yeah, Ryan being there, right?
Right. He's got to make his way back. So I was wondering how they're going to resolve that. Didn't expect them just being gone.
As it turns out, they'll just punch your heart out of your chest. Abandoning your own child. Bad move, Mom.
There's even like a note on the counter that he kind of crumples up and we don't get to see. I'm very curious what that note says. But yeah, Ryan's in an empty house where his family's basically just left. And Sandy walks up and he's like, all right, let's go.
I wrote, yay, Fred number two.
Yeah, I know. I'm so glad that in the midst of non-Riverdale weeks, we still get a good dad. I like
good
dads.
The question on everyone's mind, though, is who is your star Osedalian of the week?
I was wondering how you're going to resolve that word.
I'll just keep changing the word. It'll work.
Star Osedalian.
Star Osedalian. It sounds like a word, does it not? I'd be like, oh, I studied a lot of Osedalian poetry in college. The Osedalian time period was so interesting.
I don't think it could be anybody other than Peter Gallagher, Sandy.
What? I did write someone different than Peter Gallagher.
Well, you could be wrong, but I'm just saying that it's
what are you, me all of a sudden?
It's him. He was such a good dad, and
He was.
And I was actually, here's what really made me happy, was that even though I love Peter Gallagher, for some reason I got the idea that he wasn't a good character in this show. I don't know why that had somehow slipped into my brain. So then when the show started and he was immediately an awesome character, I was extra happy.
There's plenty of time to character assassinate him.
Right. But I was just happy that this pilot episode that we watched, he was a good dad.
Oh, yeah. Mine was Ryan.
Ben
because
good.
He's not an Osedalian. He had to earn it, and I think his defense of Seth earned it.
Yeah.
Dang it. Also, when the mom was mad, a really easy thing to do would have been, oh, yeah, these guys threatened to beat me up because of homophobic bad reasons, and he actually stepped in selflessly and fought them off.
Yeah.
That's why he has way more bruises than me, Mom. It's actually fine.
Yeah, I did a good thing.
Bye.
he was good. Ben McKenzie did a very good job. I'm going to agree with you on the fact that I don't think I can stop here. I think I need to watch at least a few more and see if it really...
This is a good tub show. I might after this pour a glass of wine and just go chill in the tub and watch some OC.
I'm so glad that's what that meant, because that's exactly what I do the exact same. You and me have both agreed on our love of sitting in the bathtub and drinking beverages.
Here is a very important question. I think we should work this out right now.
Oh.
What do you want to watch next week?
I know what I want to watch, but you won't watch it.
Say it.
Smallville.
I've seen Smallville. I thought interesting. Like, Smallville pilot is actually very good. The first two seasons of Smallville are very good.
Then...
Have you not? Because if we've both seen it, I don't think there's a reason.
Yeah, I've seen. I just want to have an excuse to watch Smallville again.
All right. Smallville's on the table. Let me hit you back. Vampire Diaries.
That was my second choice.
Shit about it.
That was my second choice.
And I love Ian Somerhalder and those abs.
That dude's Vampire Diaries. If you think Riverdale is full of like picture perfect human beings, Vampire Diaries is like, well, these are evolved forms of Riverdalians. So yeah, I'm down with doing episode one of Vampire Diaries next week.
There it is, locked in. We will see you next week with episode one of Vampire Diaries. Check you late. I don't know why I did that. I was trying to do like an outro. I don't know how to sound cool. Now I'm just talking.
Cue the music! MC gon' get it!